in talking about the unity of the faith, we realize that all of these letters that the Apostle Paul wrote were to different churches, you know, the Ephesians, the Galatians, the Colossians, the Philippians, Thessalonians, and so forth. But it was all the same church. No matter where you went, it was the same church. I want to read something here from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and 2. And I want you to pay particular attention to the discourse that Paul gives concerning the people he has sent them and the exchange between congregations. I want you to see that there is an expectation here that everyone is in agreement and that we're all doing the same thing. Whether you were from the Church of Colossia or whether you were from the Church of Corinth or Achaia or Thessalonica, there was an expectation that it would be the same wherever you went as far as what we taught and what we practiced. Does everybody understand what I'm getting at here? And what I want you to keep in mind is as we go through this, notice how this is something that you can't do today. It's something that doesn't exist in that form today. Paul starts off, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. Verse 2, this is 1 Thessalonians 1, by the way. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of severe suffering. Now, I want you to pay a particular attention to what Paul had just said there. For we know, brothers, loved of God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power and the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of severe suffering. Paul and the ministers who came with him set an example that could be observed. An example that, and let me tell you about imitation. It comes natural to us. When we see an example that's worthy of following, nobody really has to say, you should imitate this. Let me give you an example. I remember I was a part of a fellowship. And when I first started going, there were, you know, the way they had it divided, there was the younger people, the people who had just come in, who they referred to as lambs. You know, they're just recently born again. They've just come in, you know, and this is their vernacular that they were using. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying this is what they did. And then there was, the brethren, and then there were the older brothers. Now, everybody thought the older brothers were cool. You know, because the older brothers wore these little, Bible cases on their hips with, you know, with these smaller Bibles in them. You know, you could almost draw like a gun, you know, the older brothers. And everybody wanted to emulate the older brothers. And because because the older brothers, a couple of the older brothers had these cases. Naturally, all the younger brothers and the lambs, they all had to get these cases too, you know, and get those smaller Bibles and order these Bibles that you know, where it looked like you're drawing, you know, a gun on your hip, you know. Nobody had to tell them to imitate. It came natural. People follow the examples they see, especially if it's done to portray it as desirable. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? A great part of our witness are the examples that we leave, the examples that we set. Paul was very much aware of this. How we lived among you for your sake, you became imitators of us and of the Lord, in spite of severe suffering, and you welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. And you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Those reported what kind for his son from heaven. Notice the cover. But do you notice those points that Paul was laying down for unity's sake? For unity's sake. He remarked about how they were of the same spirit. He remarked about how that they were of the same faith. He remarked on how they were of the same zeal. He remarked about how they became imitators of them unto God. All of this is subtle commendation to them for being of the same mind. How many of you can see that? And when he says, we don't need to say anything about it. For they themselves reported what kind of reception you gave us. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. This falls right in line with what Paul had said in another place. He said, be imitators of me as I imitate Christ, or follow me as I follow Christ. He goes on to say, you know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. And this should be, you know, this is something that you should get right off the bat without me pointing it out, but I'm going to say it anyway. Entrusted with the gospel, not a gospel. Not just a good message, but the gospel. And I bring this up because, you know, the gospel message, and it didn't matter which of these churches they were at, it was always the same message. Always the same message. Approved of God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God, who says this specifically about not pleasing men, because we are not trying to cater to you. All we do is about catering to God. I want you to hear what he's saying in this subtle way to them. We're not trying to cater to you or anyone or any other man. See, the unity of the faith becomes a natural outcropping of God instead of men. When we're not trying to please men or tailor the gospel, I want you to see why most of these denominations exist in the way that they do. And why their messages are different from one another. Because they are all designed to cater to men, not God. Can y'all see that? They are all designed to cater to one group or another, not God. To cater to people's particular bents, not God. And this is how the gospel starts to be watered down. So we're not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. You know, we never used flattery. We didn't try to make ourselves more appealing to you. Listen to what he's really saying. We didn't try to make ourselves more appealing to you. We didn't tailor a message to you. It's the same message everywhere. We didn't use flattery. Nor did we. We weren't trying to. We didn't come here to take something from you. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. Ooh. I want you to think about the way things are now. Look at the way things are now. Are they looking for praise from God? Are they looking for praise from men? Are they wearing a mask to cover up greed? Yeah. It's all about money now, isn't it? It's all about catering to a group of people to get the best results from those people. And the bottom line is profit. But we were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. And this is the thing. In order to set the example, remember the example that we're taught, that many have followed, the imitation of their lives, they had to see an example to imitate it, didn't they? These men didn't just come to them. These apostles and these people from the other churches that came with Paul, they didn't come just as some kind of experts to sit back and be served. Did they? They came to be seen for who they were and what they were, and they rolled up their sleeves alongside with the people and went to work. And that's the example the people saw. They not only danced with the people, they mourned with the people. They not only ate and drank with the people, but they worked with the people. They shared with the people their lives. They were real. They were transparent. They weren't plastic ideas. They weren't just guys in $700 suits who come to stay in a hotel and be lauded by the people and clapped for. They came to work with the people. They came to rub elbows with the smallest people in the congregation. They come to be counted as one of them. And this is all that example of Jesus, because when Jesus came before John the Baptist, even though he himself was not a sinner, and even though he himself was without sin, he had himself counted among the sinners, even so to be baptized with them, to be counted as one of them. He humbled himself. He made himself nothing. He was there to serve, not to be served. Not only are we talking about the kind of apostles and the leadership of a church that we need and the kind of pastors we need, but we're also talking about an example that we need that will tend toward unity. An example of love and humility that tends toward unity. An example that will be emulated. Because those who desire to be first need to have it demonstrated to them what it means to be first. Because what it means to be first is to make yourself last. Those who would be the greatest among you must become what? The servants of all. That's the example that we want to set down as men of God and women of God. And it's also the example that tends toward unity. Because if we become known for that example, then that is the example that will be emulated. And humility does not allow pride to get in the way, which is the main thing that gets in the way of unity. This is an example that tends toward unity. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Because you had become so dear to us. It was done out of love. It was not done to win them over. Remember what he had just said. We were not looking for praise from men, and not from you, and not from anyone else. It wasn't done to win them over. They didn't set an example to try to win the people over. Their goal was not to win the people over. Their goal was to win God. Their goal was to please God. And so their love for the people was what? Genuine. And so the role models the people had were genuine. You see people come in with an agenda. Well, they will kiss up to certain people. Right? And be sickly sweet with people. Because their goal is to win those people. Their goal is to use them as support for their agenda. That's not the way it's done in Christianity. In Christianity, there's only one person that we seek to please, God. So that the example that we leave is about pleasing only God. And therefore, when we show our love of God, and it shows through us to the people, it is genuine. We don't love them for what they can do for us, or what we can get for them, or how we can use them. We love them simply because God in us loves them. And God in us sent us to them to bring God's love to them. You see it? That again is an example that tends toward unity. That's the example we must leave. And it's not naivete to believe that we can have a unity of the faith through this. It's exactly how it works. It's how it's always worked. It is by the supernatural power of a loving God. But our goal must be to please God first. So that God's love may be perfected in us. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel to you. See, they were in that place where they came to these people, you know, when they were pagans. They came to them and purposely went out of their way to make sure that these people didn't think that they were being used for anything. They came so that, look, all we want to do is give to you. We don't want to take from you. So that they even resist, so that they would be that more of a, much more of a blessing to these people. their love for them was genuine because it was the love of God. It was agape. We worked hard night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You were witnesses, and so was God. How holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each other, each of you, as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. They discipled them to God. Notice what they didn't do. They didn't disciple them unto themselves. They didn't disciple them unto a doctrine. They didn't disciple them unto an organization. They didn't disciple them unto a denomination. They discipled them unto God. They discipled them unto love. Discipled them through one message that doesn't change for anybody. The gospel. We also thank God continually, verse 13, because when you received the word of God, accepted it not as the word of men, but as it is, actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. For you, brothers, became imitators of God's churches. You want to know where our unity is? It's right there. The example of love and servanthood that they seen is the example that ruled the day. The example of love and sacrifice that they seen is the example they received. And it's the example that was perpetuated. For you, brothers, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own countrymen the same thing those churches suffered from the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and who also drove us out. They displeased God and are hostile to all men in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles, so that they may be saved. In this way, they always heap upon their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last. Look at that. That's the example, isn't it, of unity? Unity that is conceived in love for God first, in pleasing God first, in humility before God first, so that God's love may be perfected in you as an instrument to love them. And then they have an example that they will perpetuate, an example that tendeth toward unity. It's supernatural. It's not magic. It's supernatural because it's love. They love them. See, we got to look at it differently. Instead of catering our words to people to fit this group or that group, or catering how we act, we do them a disservice. It is one for all. We don't change it an iota for anybody. It's got to be God first. This is the message he gave. It cannot be for anybody. It cannot be slacked. And that's the example that we should leave, because it's the only example that tends toward unity of the faith. one gospel, one example, one faith, God. It's not centered on us winning people to our cause. It's not centered on winning people to God's cause. It's centered on winning God and leaving the example of how they too can win God. God's way. Now, that's completely backwards than you see it being done, isn't it? Over the people and loves the place of honor. It's about a leadership that gets down in the trenches and works alongside out of love. Who teaches not just with words, but with example. Who teaches through sacrifice the need for sacrifice. Only when people witness the sacrifice in you for God will they see God. That's what we're all called to. That none of us are up above another, but that we're all working together as the body of Christ. And then it will, no matter where you go. Because the ultimate aim on everyone's behalf is not to please men, but to please God. Then our love for each other can be that byproduct of loving God, of having God's love perfected in us, so that our love toward each other is genuine and not something that you had to fake in order to fulfill your agenda. That's a good place to stop. But I wanted you to see that. How is it going to be the same with Christians everywhere? It's when we're all worshiping the same God in the same way, His way. When it becomes all of our common goal to please God. When humility rules the day rather than our agendas. That's a good place to stop.